Welcome to the Choose to Be podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Where healing begins with you, and we're here to support you along the way.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. This is a fun episode. Alana and I are going to talk about this really cool acronym. I don't know about you. Well, I know you just said you've been telling your groups, but I've been telling clients. I've been telling groups. I told Jeff's drawer. He's like, no, I haven't heard that. Tell me about it. It's such a great acronym. I think it's just a funner way to remind yourself of how to stay really in your window of tolerance. And I want to bring the window of tolerance into this, Alana, as we start, because right off the bat, when I was using this with one of my groups, we were talking about, first of all, the acronym, the phrase is Stop Dancing with Walter. Walter is the acronym, and it's warning. We'll go through this a lot slower, but warning, arguing, lecturing, teaching, explaining, and reminding. And Alana, I love your addition. It's actually F Walter. The F is for fix.
Because I am a fixer, and
yeah, a lot of women are fixers. I'm a fixer. We're actually adding to it. So it's F Walter.
Also, if anyone's husband is named Walter, I'm really sorry.
Really sorry.
I'll just put that out there.
Sorry. Not sorry. No, just kidding. But we were talking about the warning and the threatening, and it hit me and struck me that depending on where you're at in this journey, betrayal is an absolute threat to your entire body, your system, your world, your relationships, relationship with God. Like, it infiltrates all of it, and everything around you becomes a threat. And so when we are teaching this and we're using this, like, okay, this is what we essentially want you to be aware of when you are issuing warnings or threats. And I just want to add the window of tolerance in here before, because that ideally, obviously, we're just going to be practicing, is where we want to be. And I think using this acronym helps you get into that window of tolerance. But I guess I'm just feeling a lot of compassion and want to hold a lot of grace and space for those of you who might be warning and threatening, because you are coming from a very threatened space right now. So that was the only caveat that I just thought, oh, when we talk about, hey, it's not going to be helpful to you to warn and threat, also, it really makes sense why.
Okay. Two places my brain really wants to go right now. Number one is, I know some of you are like, wait, what's the window of tolerance? So we're going to slow that down. That after we slow that part down, this is what came up in my group yesterday, is for our check-in. I said, don't dance with Walter. Here's what it means. And then the check-in question is, in what ways are you being pulled into this dance? And the one big theme that came up is, okay, but once we're doing healthy couples work, I should explain where I'm at. I should be willing to say, hey, do you remember I said this? So what's healthy and what's not? Am I just going to be like, nope, I'm not explaining it. You're on your own, dude. And so I want to make space for the confusion that you might be feeling. Even just hearing us say, don't dance with Walter. You need to stop warning and threatening. We're going to stop arguing. We're going to stop lecturing. We're going to stop teaching. We're going to stop explaining, stop reminding. And your brain is like, I'm sorry, what? Because that's what came up in the group, is a lot of these defensive parts of our brain going, hold on, this doesn't make sense. So we're going to slow it all down. Amy, can you explain for those who have never heard the window of tolerance? Yeah. When I first went through betrayal, when I learned about the window of tolerance, I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. I never heard of it.
Yeah. Well, we do have an episode on this way, way early. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about it now, because I'm sure we were super awkward way, way early.
We were wonderful.
And we do have, I'm pretty sure it's still up there, we do have a window of tolerance PDF on our website, chooserecoveryservices.com. Go over to podcast, scroll down a little bit. There's a PDF on there that will also show you what we're talking about here. But essentially, divide it into three parts. The top part of the window is the hyper vigilance. We're policing, lots of anxiety, hyper vigilance, like just very much hyper tuned.
Your heart's racing, your body is
fight flight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is that state. The very bottom is the hypo arousal. This is when we are in freeze response. Depression lives here. Just that frozen, can't move, can't think. The fog maybe might be down here a little bit. And then in the middle, with boundaries, helps us get into the middle. And this is the window of tolerance, where we are able to better tolerate emotions, these hard emotions. This isn't window of tolerance, we're happy. This is, we are able to sit with these hard emotions a little bit longer. I like actually bringing in the 8 C's to this one. We're able to tap into curiosity, compassion, connectivity, those 8 C's of the higher self in ICF. When you're able to tap into being curious about your body, noticing what's happening, you're in that window of tolerance. You're accessing that space.
I like to think of that window of tolerance as emotionally regulated.
Yes.
As you can be feeling all of the emotions. I can feel sad. I can feel angry. I can feel confused. I can feel frustrated. I can feel happy. I can feel all of them, but I can tolerate it. I can manage it. I can emotionally regulate. Mm-hmm. Versus when we go outside of that window of tolerance, we are either in fight, flight, or freeze.
Yeah. You're really not at that point. You're in a trauma response. So you're really not in control over your body, mind, and spirit. It's your heart, gut, heart, mind are not, we're not connected with that. And I don't say connected as in connected, check, arrival, but we want to tap into this as much as we can. And fight, flight, freeze pulls us out of it. When we start dancing with Walter, when we get sucked into warnings and threats, whether they're coming at us or we're issuing them, that's coming from the hyper, right? We're threatened. And so we're activated and our parts are watching for when the next threat's coming. And that's a great indicator that we're in a response, we're in a trauma response, or we're acting from a trauma response. And the next one's arguing. This one is tricky too, because when I brought it up with a couple clients, anger comes up. And when you argue, typically we're coming from a place of frustration and anger. Anger's part of all of this. It's not bad. It's not wrong. And we want to have a voice and express from how we're feeling in our bodies with anger. And I think the difference here is, again, is it safe to be able to express what you are feeling? And do you own your anger? I think if we're out of the window of tolerance, we're in blame or even shame.
Mm-hmm.
So you can communicate and have opposing opinions. You can share, you know what, this is what I noticed, and this is what I'm feeling because of that, and I'm really angry. I'm feeling this. That isn't arguing. And I don't think that's what we're talking about when we talk about the dance with Walter. I think the arguing is that tit for tat, blaming back and forth.
This is a good one to really dive deeper into, because I think about the difference between conflict and contention.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of clients, myself included, where I'm like, I don't like conflict. It doesn't feel good. But healthy conflict is how we can move through things and progress forward. But conflict is different than contention. Contention is this energy where we're not listening to each other. We're not working through the conflict. We're just building this contention. And so when I think of arguing, I think of this back and forth of this fighting to be heard. And when it comes to arguing, I think about when Luke was really deep in his addiction, didn't know about it. We would get in these arguments. And so often we had this pattern where he would be, I'll just say gaslighting, protecting himself in some way, but I didn't see it as that. But he would accuse me of these things. And in my brain, I'm like, that's not the truth. I have to tell you what the truth is. And every time I defended myself, then he would have something else. And I would defend and he would have something else. And back and forth and back and forth. And we'd be arguing. And I remember listening to John Gottman or reading his book, The Seven Principles of Marriage, when I was in my undergrad. And it said, every time that you defend, you have escalated the conversation. And I was like, that was such a kick to the gut because I'm like, I'm always defending myself because I felt like I had to. And I felt like this arguing, I had to defend myself. I had to dance with Walter because if I don't, then he's going to believe all of these things that aren't true. So I now have to convince him of what is real. Yet the whole time, I'm just throwing more gas on the flames, not even knowing it. So one of my most important works in the beginning was stepping out of this dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so hard because every part of me wanted to just teach him, explain, help him see why this isn't accurate.
Yeah. And if we can help him see why this isn't accurate, then maybe he'll get it and then I can feel better. And it really, when we're out of that window of tolerance, we are stepping out of our agency. We're controlling things that we don't have control over. Essentially, the trauma response, you don't control that. That is an act upon emotion. So we want to be more in that window of tolerance of not getting rid of negative emotions, but being in charge. It's like the analogy I say, don't give these emotion parts the keys to the car, but they can be in the car. Just hold, be the driver. So warnings, threats, and then that kind of goes in the W. We didn't really elaborate on fix, but I think everybody knows what we mean by that, right? Like fix them, fix yourself. Just be the fixer. Everyone wants to fix. That's a hard one for me. It's a hard one for me to let go of, even like, especially with my kids.
I've been doing my work for like a decade. And this is where I'm going to show you why Alana does not have all of her crap together all of the time. So my husband and I, like once a month, we try to go get a hotel for a night and just get away and be together. So this last weekend, we're at a hotel. We're having just a nice time together. And it gets brought up that my husband is processing around one of my children, around something that they're doing that's bringing a lot of emotion up for him that he wants to step in and fix and help. And he did a whole therapy session around it. And so he's talking to me about it. And as he's talking to me about it, and I'm really close to this child, so I'm like, oh, well, okay, have you thought of doing this? You should do this. Have you considered this? Why did you do this? And I am in like so fix it mode. And he's really like, my husband at this point is emotionally dysregulated. Like it's bringing up a lot of emotion. And all of a sudden, as I'm like rattling off my little helpful advice, I go, and this is in my head, but I'm like, I am doing the exact same thing to him right now that he's processing around doing to his child. And I've done therapy around this of like, I don't want to be in this role. I watched my mother be in this role. I don't want to be in this role. And I go, I am so sorry. I realize what I'm doing. I am literally doing to you what you're doing to our child. I am sorry. And he's like, thank you. But conversation continues, right? So I caught myself awareness, like, hey, gold star for Alana. But a little bit further in the conversation, I think of this tool that he can use that I've used with clients, and it's a good tool. It's this visualization and kind of like passing energy back where it needs to go and taking what's yours. And I said to him, this is my attempt at being healthy. I'm like, I have a really helpful tool. Would you like it? And this is me of like, I'm not going to just fix. I'm going to lay it on the table. And if he wants to pick it up, he can. And he goes, no, I don't think right now I'm in the place for that. I'm a little escalated, maybe after breakfast. I get it. But I was like, but it's a good tool. It's a really good, like,
it will fix everything.
It will help. Let me help you. And so I was like, okay, I get that. But inside, I'm like dying a little bit. And I'm like, no, okay, it's good.
It's so true. I love that example. It's, well, I think everyone's resonating.
But it's not over. We go to breakfast. through breakfast, I'm still thinking about the tool. So we go to Jamba Juice, we get smoothies or an acai bowl, and we finish, we get in the car, and the second we get in the car, and I can see myself doing it, like an out-of-body experience, I'm like, Alana, what are you doing? But the second we get in the car, I'm like, so do you want the tool now? And so embarrassing. And he goes, no, I don't think I'm ready yet. And then like 30 seconds later, he's like, actually, okay, yeah, I think I can handle it. And so I'm like, okay, cool. So I give him the tool, and he's like, oh, yeah, actually, that's a good tool. And in my head, there's like fireworks going off of like dopamine of like, yes, it is a good tool. I know it's a good tool. I'm so happy. But I realized in that moment, I was telling him for me. That made me feel good.
Right.
Yes, I wanted him to have the tool, but the way that I needed that fix, I needed that release. And to see that through that out-of-body therapist brain analyzing this very real human interaction with my husband, man, it's so hard sometimes to step out of these patterns of dancing with Walter.
Oh, it's so hard. I love it.
It was a good tool, though.
It is a good tool. But I mean, how many of our listeners like listen to us, listen to other podcasts, read books, and are just like, if you just
read this.
And so I really, really love your vulnerability there, walking through that. I think that's so relatable. And then really quickly, why is fixing, even though it feels like, and it might help, right? Like even Luke was like, yeah, it actually really would help. It might really help. But why is this not helpful? And why does this contribute to the dance?
There's a couple different reasons. I think at its core, there creates this power differential of, I have the answer. I know you don't know. I need to give it to you. I need to fix you. I need to help you. You're less than. I'm better. I know more. And that can cause resentment in both of us. And so it really does hurt and divide the relationship. So I think at its core, that's why it's most damaging. But also, I think of the Cartman triangle and where it talks about the different roles where you have the persecutor, the victim, and the rescuer. The rescuer, and I'm just going to read this off of, I like Dr. Catherine Kissel's website when she has the Cartman triangle on here, but she says it's being overhelpful, enables, can be a martyr, feels responsible for others, fixes other people's problems, make sacrifices for others while discounting your personal needs, sees self as rescuers, sees others as helpless, feels guilt when problems can't be solved, keeps the victim dependent. Rescuing creates a sense of being capable, which I had, right? Like, I'm like, ooh, I helped you. But while some of those can sound good on the surface of I'm helping, it does create this, the power differential. It creates that enabling. It creates this pattern where if I'm rescuing, a rescuer needs a victim. And then a victim needs a rescuer, or a victim is a victim because of a persecutor. And then we just bounce around. And so the list she gives of if we're not rescuing and we're moving into this coach role, listen how different this sounds. You say things like, I care about you and I know you're capable. You don't do for others what they can do for themselves. You're willing to listen without taking on other people's pains and problems. You set boundaries that reflect your own individual limitations. You're able to take care of your needs. You listen to your gut and your intuition. You offer compassion over solutions. How many of us want people just to try to fix all of our problems when we're trying to have feelings? No, that's not what we want or need. We support instead of rescuing. This is huge. We help only when asked to, and we allow others to think and do for themselves.
It's hard because if they think and do for themselves, then it might impact us. And that's why the dance is so hard to get out of. Mm-hmm. But even if they take your advice and you, quote, fix them, it's not going to be sustainable. because the only sustainable change is when we consciously choose it for ourselves. And that's why ultimately everything we're covering today in the dance that you might see short-term success with, like, well, I did teach them and it worked. It will not be sustainable if they don't consciously choose it. So the F. Walter, so fixing, warning or threats, arguing, lecturing. I think the rest of them are self-explanatory, but lecturing, again, it's, I see this happen a lot, even if it's over text message, email, mm-hmm. we're just going on and on and on and on, and it's not a two-way conversation. It's not a healthy window of tolerance back and forth. We're owning our own experience and emotions and having that, well, really it's that contention versus conflict, but lecturing obviously is not helpful. Feels like it.
Take a child. When a parent goes into a lecturing place, what happens in the child's brain? You can't see if you're listening. Amy did this big hand across the face of just a shutdown. They mentally disassociate, go to another place just to get through the lecture. And so often, less is more. I have these partners who have been holding in so much, or they have so many big feelings that it's like, I have to explain it. And that goes into the explaining. But I have to tell you and tell you and tell you and tell you. And then they keep going to prove their point. And the longer they talk, the more that you've lost your partner. And that doesn't mean that there won't be a time and space to work through this. But the minute we're in a lecturing mode, there is a very good chance you've lost the other person with you, whether it be your child or your partner. It makes me think of the explaining one. These go close for me because with explaining, I see so many partners, and I did this too, where it's like, okay, I try to explain it this way. It doesn't land. Okay, I'm going to explain it this way. Doesn't land. I'm going to explain it from this angle. And we keep explaining it from all of these different ways because we're just trying to be understood, because that need and desire to be understood is so part of our human nature.
It really is such a part of our human nature. It is. And I love that you brought the example of kids in, because as soon as you said that, it clicked. I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah. I've seen, how many times do I see the glazed over? And that's my indicator, like, shut up, Amy, shut up. Ultimately, what you're wanting by all of these things that we're talking about is to be connected with your partner. And mm-hmm. and lecturing doesn't connect you because that other person doesn't have a voice or space in that conversation when you're lecturing.
I just love what you said there, because the reason we dance with Walter is because we are trying to grasp so hard for that connection. And when we're not getting that connection, those attachment cries, those attachment longings within us try to get that need met however we can. But the dancing with Walter doesn't work. And so it can feel scary to step away from this. It can feel like if I move away from this, I might lose everything. But staying in it and doing this dance will actually move you further away from your goals. And so allowing yourself to step out of this, and this is where doing potentially some couples work or having somebody to help moderate this can be helpful too.
Yeah. Good point. T is for teaching. And this is, again, similar to what we've been talking about. I see this show up. I'm curious where you see this show up, Alana, but I see this show up in when we learn something and when we feel like we've been taught and it edifies us and we're like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. And we want to teach it to others. There's nothing wrong with, I think, a lot of the intention that I see behind all of these different things. So I want to make sure that I'm clear on that. And again, when we are acting upon someone, when there's not a buy-in, like your example with Luke, when there's not this buy-in of someone wanting to show up and be taught, like lecturing, teaching, you go to a class, you and I are getting ready to go to a class tomorrow on brain spotting. We're signing up. We're buying in, literally. to be taught information. So we're open. We are in conscious choice. the reason why the Dance with Walter doesn't work in all of these areas, and when you're teaching somebody some information, if they haven't bought into that, don't want to be taught, then it's not going to be received. And then, like we've been saying, this is the resentment that comes in because you're just like wanting to fake them. And I'm thinking of my children again. How many times? I'll work with clients on mothering. We just are always so worried about being a good mom and the best mom. And so one of my favorite things to do is to say, okay, let's just go ahead and define for yourself what a good mom is rather than what the world says, right? And every single time when we really boil it down, we want to teach our children. And I think it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to feel success if you're teaching your children principles and concepts. And where we have to really draw that boundary in that line is realize that you can teach, but it's up to them to receive. You can teach all you want till you're blue in the face. I don't know how many times I have taught my 16-year-old son to wipe the toilet after he pees and then put the lid down.
My kids is flush. Just flush it.
Right? Like, just how many times have I taught that? But he's not open to receive that. I know. What an example, Amy. We got to have some lightheartedness in this. But the point there is I have taught till I'm blue in the face, for crying out loud. I don't know how. I've literally pulled, now I'm going on a tangent, but I've literally pulled my son into the bathroom.
I think every mother with boys has done what you're about to say at least once or twice.
Like, this is how you do it. You put the lid down, you turn around, you sit, you wipe, like the whole thing, or the toilet paper roll, like showed him how to put it in there. Oh my gosh. Couldn't be any more clear. But we do this in our relationships too with our partner. And this is why I kind of like that we're talking about children, because look at the power differential.
Yeah, because in essence, it is our responsibility as parents to help our children move from a state of immaturity through all of their development to become self-sustaining adults.
Yes.
But how often do I see married people treating their partner like a child? And then they are so mad of like, I don't want another child. And I'm going to own, for me, I had to own, I played into those patterns of enabling that childlike behavior.
Yep.
I had to step out of those patterns too.
Yeah. And look, I get it. And I want to validate that when you are dealing with someone who is in addiction, then there is a level of emotional immaturity. Hence why we want to just be like, listen up. You've got to learn this. And because they are a grown adult, they've got to buy into that for themselves with a fully, like, their brain is fully developed. Our children's aren't. So the responsibility is different with partner versus child. And when you go into this teaching mode of Dance with Walter with your partner, like you said beautifully earlier, it does create this power differential that isn't healthy for either one of you. And again, opens us up to resentment, control, unhealthy control, blame, all the things. So teaching is part of the dance. Explaining, kind of the same thing here in the sense of like over, I actually see this a lot with like explaining ourselves. Well, let me explain. And we tend to over explain why we feel this way, or why even the boundaries. I see this show of boundaries rather than just very clearly communicating the boundary and holding the consequence. Huh? It's, we're going to over explain. And then when the boundary is questioned or pushed back on, then we over explain again why we're doing the boundary. I love your example you gave a while ago, but I actually use this a lot in groups and my clients, where you and Luke were further along in your recovery and decent work was being done, and you had another boundary, you had another request, and it was very clear, very concise, and he couldn't understand why. He was like, why? I don't get this. And he went to his therapist to get help to understand, rather than coming at you and poking the bear to get you to explain. And so that's an example that came to my mind when we talk about don't dance with Walter by explaining and over explaining.
Well, and the beautiful thing is when he takes that and he goes, I have enough respect for you to go, I don't understand your boundary. Let me go figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and challenge you on your boundary, but I'm realizing I probably have some blocks coming up. So let me go figure it out. Then he can sit down with his therapist. He can get mad. He can get angry. He can get sad. He can be confused. They together in a safe place for him. He can explore all of those things that are coming up. He can explore those blocks to figure out. So the therapist isn't there just like, hey, she means this, dude. That's not what the therapist is doing. The therapist is figuring out what's coming up for him when he heard it. So he can work through his own protector parts, his own blocks, so he can then get to the place where he can have that clarity.
Yeah. Yeah.
So even the therapist is not going, hey, sit here while I explain how your wife sees it. There's a whole process and work that's being done that's really beautiful. Then he can come back to me and go, okay, this is what I'm hearing. Am I accurate with that? Yep. This is my boundary. Okay, that makes sense to me. And then he gets to choose what he does with that boundary.
Exactly. This is very adult and emotionally mature way to approach a partnership when we don't understand or see eye to eye. And I just love that you slowed that down because it shows the accountability of the betrayer. Mm-hmm. Like this shows a really big piece that you're taking away and not giving them an opportunity to do when you're in the dance with Walter. You're not giving them that opportunity to be accountable and repair the damage they've done in that partnership. That is absolutely part of recovery, y'all. And when we get, as the betrayed partner, when we get sucked into this dance and we're trying to do all of the repair and the responsibility, accountability for them and shove it down their throat, you're not going to get ultimately what I know all of you want. So that's why this also isn't helpful. And then R is remind with the boundaries. Again, I see this show up a lot, reminding the person of the boundary rather than holding the consequence. And I get that, right? This is why it's so important to work with someone on boundaries, because that then I will part gets missed a lot when we are communicating the boundary or coming up with one for ourselves. And when that part is missed, then it's easy to go into the reminding, because it's really uncomfortable if you haven't thought through the then I will part and get into your Bill of Rights and know what you have a right to do to protect yourself. We fall back into the enabling trap.
It's hard. This is all hard work. So if this episode feels a little heavy to you because you are in the middle of this dancing and this spinning with Walter, let's F Walter. Let's stop the dance. Dancing, if I'm constantly spinning, makes me sick. I don't want to be sick. It can be scary stepping into healthy. Healthy is hard. And when you're the one taking those brave steps on your own, it's really normal and natural to question that. So I highly suggest doing this with the support of people who can understand and have your back, whether it be a group, a coach, a therapist, a good, healthy friend, whichever it is, having that support that you can rely on as you practice doing this and then giving yourself grace. You're not going to figure this out overnight, especially if some of this stuff comes all the way from childhood. Give yourself lots of grace and lots of time as you practice.
Sticky note, Walter. Put Walter on a sticky note. Put it places to remind you. Mm-hmm. One more quick thing, Alana, before you wrap up here is, I also, because I went over this with my divorce ladies, because this shows up after post-divorce as well and in a couple different ways. But one of the other dynamics to this that I wanted my divorce ladies to know, and I think would be helpful for you listeners as well that are working on the relationship, is be aware of when you're being asked to dance with Walter.
Yes.
So when you see the warning or the threats, get safety, right? Warning and threats remove safety out of the relationship. And that's when safety is needed immediately. And you get that for yourself. The arguing, the invitation to argue, right? All of that, even the invitation to be taught, when it's coming from a place of lack of accountability and responsibility, right? Well, I'm not going to go and learn for myself. You just teach me.
Mm-hmm.
That is tricky. Got to watch for that. Get some support around that one. But I see that as an invitation to dance and get off the dance floor. Just get off the dance floor. This is what boundaries do. Work on getting in that window of tolerance with boundaries for yourself and hang in there. Hang in there. This doesn't just resolve overnight, just like all the other things that we talk about on here. It's with patience, with compassion, consistency over time. Sometimes it feels like it's getting worse before it gets better.
I think that was such an important and beautiful reminder and a beautiful way to wrap it up. So I'm not going to add anything. Such an important episode. Such an important tool. Thank you for hanging out with Amy and I. Thank you for doing your work. Such a beautiful, hard work. And you're in the middle of it. Just be so gentle. So, as always, thank you for hanging out with us today. And we look forward to seeing you next week.
No matter where you are at in your healing journey, and we have a lot of you listeners that are in different places, the very essence of belief in yourself can often become tarnished or even worse, completely shattered. The belief that you are inherently strong, good, and whole and complete and enough just as you are can be really challenging to believe, which then makes it really challenging to believe that you can accomplish things, that you can make hard decisions, or that you can even make a decision. Questioning your own worth, doubting your abilities, and struggling to trust your own judgment is very often a consequence of betrayal trauma. And it's in these moments of self-doubt and uncertainty that my coaching program, Believing in You, becomes an invaluable compass for your healing and growth. I designed Believing in You for those that are ready to take your healing to the next level. Through this program, you're going to learn how to rebuild the foundation of self-belief brick by brick. You will get support in nurturing your ability to trust again, to have confidence in your decisions, and accept your intrinsic value as truth. With belief in yourself as your guiding star, you'll not only survive, you're not going to just survive, you're going to thrive. I would love to show you how. New membership openings will be available in 6 weeks, so you're going to want to get your spot now. They fill up very fast. Head over to the show notes to get the link to register. And if you're not sure if this is for you, if you're ready to take that next step, then book your consultation with me and we can chat. More than anything, Choose continues to support you in choosing recovery, in choosing to heal, and in choosing you. Take care, everybody.